Chapter 31. It was a beautiful spring day for a funeral in Moreland Memorial Park Cemetery, the closest one they could find to Dutch Village. Calling it a funeral might be pushing it. A gloating was more like it. Around the freshly dug grave stood the celebrants, hardly mourning, eager to shout out their curses on the deceased. A hate funeral like no other. They waited 6 months to bury her, to make sure she was really dead. After all, in real life, several of them had actually been able to fly, if you could call it that. Who knew what deep, dark magic this witch could pull from the other side of the grave? They burned her up, of course, cremated the body right there in Provincetown, from the ambulance to the dead-on-arrival emergency room right to the furnace. Alone, just what she deserved. Now, if the resurrection did happen, she'd still be screwed. Ashes can't walk, can they? There was no press present. They had originally covered her death from the freak accident at an anal swinger festival angle, much juicier than the most wanted suitcase thief one, and besides, the insurance companies had settled those old baggage claims long ago. Nobody wanted her now, not the FBI, not the media, and least of all her family and their friends. Even the reverend they had found on Craigslist to lead the services loathed the legacy of Marcia Sprinkle once he did his research. "We are gathered here," he begins, "to spit on the grave of this terrible harridan, and to take a time of healing to judge, condemn, and destroy the reputation of such a horrible human being." "Everyone hated her," he continues. "Her employees, her poor deceased ex-husband, her own daughter, and yes, her mother too. Even God thought she was a cunt," he thunders to the heavens above. "Harsh? Maybe not. Even one of the uniformed gravediggers, waiting patiently for the signal to throw in the first shovelful of dirt, laughs out loud. So does the other one. Then they both hop. Twice. Let me read from the scriptures," the minister intones. "Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. All liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and crimson, which is a second death." "Hallelujah," Poppy and her one-time followers shout out like the normal people they are trying to become. "Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, he announces piously. "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that desires wicked plans, feet that are quick to run to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Is this not Marcia Sprinkle herself?" The graveside crowd knows they are not supposed to cheer at a funeral, but they do anyway. When the murmurs of approval die down, the reverend asks in a holy voice, "Would the family like to share?" knowing full well the volcano of hatred that will follow. "Yes, Father," answers Adora, standing up ramrod straight without the slightest bit of shaking, now content to just sit home in New York City, drama-free, watching Dog Whisperer reruns on the National Geographic Channel. "I want to apologize to the world," she volunteers, "for giving birth to such an evil creature." Surprise, now purring in the cutest way possible, fully identifying as a cat, mused lovingly in support as the other gravedigger, possibly a woman, sneaks away shaking sideways with her male fellow funeral groundskeeper. He's doing it too. Poppy, now content to stand despite the excess weight she's put on due to lack of exercise, adds in a loud, clear voice, "Finally, I'm over the trauma of being born from inside the poisonous vessel known as Marcia Sprinkle." She doesn't even hear the shattering of her car's windows in the parking lot. "Right on," shouts Volta, still standing tall, but now active in the world of American women's basketball, where she can finally jump in a way that society can better understand. Is that her vehicle's burglar alarm she hears in the distance? Of course not. Who would break into her car at a funeral? She was a complete psycho, witnesses Lipa, no longer a big girl, so exhausted from all those Overeaters Anonymous meetings that she thinks she's seeing things when that other weird gravedigger grabs a gasoline can from a tool shed and runs up the hill to the parking lot. Does she know this fool? He does look familiar. A viper, adds Campolina, real name Harold Atkins, now such an upscale gay guy who's left his drag persona behind to become a real estate agent that he doesn't even wonder why all the smoke is billowing from right where he left his new truck. Let other queens worry about it, not him. He's through with all that diva shit. A fucking witch, accuses Sam, as he's now known since he's not springing anywhere anymore except to his job repairing the karaoke machine up at the corner bar near the old trampoline park. A kleptomaniac, chimes in Barbara, who, if she's double backing to anywhere since their grand old Opry plans tanked, it's to an honest day's work selling her old Jimmy Rogers CDs up at the North Point Plaza flea market. Boom! What the fuck was that explosion? Whatever it was, she and Sam sure aren't yodeling about it. Marcia Sprinkle had no soul, blurts out Billy, surprising his own self now that he's given up the spiritual life for a more mundane one as a chiropractor's receptionist. Imagine his shock when he sees the roof of his heavily financed red Hyundai land with a crash not 20 feet away. Now how is he supposed to get home? He's certainly not walking with the new back pain that's come on since he's been static. She was frigid too, hollers Daryl in one last blast of bitter leftover horniness. Yes, he's pled guilty to third-degree burglary for the suitcase crap and served 2 months of home detention, and he's single now to boot. But that's not a problem because Richard down below has turned over a new leaf, celibacy. Both have accepted the calmer life of an incel. It's just easier that way. But what they both want to do together is the perfect finale for this character assassination funeral. Burn in hell, the pastor cries, and Richard, taking his cue from Daryl, pisses on Marcia's grave. Burn, witch, burn, the anti-mourners begin chanting, over and over, building in intensity. Suddenly, dogs are heard howling in the distance. The crowd freezes. Did the earth just shake a little, or is that their new non-movement paranoia? Oh my God, he's not a grave digger. He's that horrible dog catcher from Provincetown, and he's rising above them in the air of the parking lot just like they used to be able to do. His angry guard dogs pour into the cemetery, aimed directly for their service. Poppy realizes she's made a mistake. She blinked. She should have known never to walk away from her special powers, because there are always enemies waiting to steal what is magically yours, and that is what happened. The other one's not some grave digger either. It's her. Her mother, Marcia Sprinkle. A little heavier, but still alive. Partially revealed through a cloud of explosive gasoline smoke like a bad Hallmark Easter card, rising up in the air farther than Poppy had ever been able to reach, possessing the same power she once ridiculed and refused to understand in others. Worse yet, dogs seem to like her now. Will there ever be justice? Poppy tries with all her might to bounce, shake, roll, or rise, any way to escape the charging dogs, but she's not a defier of gravity anymore. None of them are. Miraculous powers are not retrievable once abandoned. There's no second chance at divinity. They all miss the boat. Baxter, Lester's favorite guard dog, attacks Daryl and bites off Richard. Connected or not connected, impotency is now forever. Travis, the large boxer, lunges toward the pastor and begins mauling him, while Draco rips apart the pages of the Bible with his teeth. Run, Poppy screams to her one-time followers, and even though they now have wills of their own, all obey. Yet Poppy has never had to run. She knew how to move upward with both of her feet on the ground, but never forward with one after the other. Volta and Lipa, eight Poppy's uncoordinated gait, but they trip over Campolina, excuse me, Harold, who has clumsily fallen, too, unused to running in men's shoes. The dogs attack, all with a new vengeance. Sam and Barbara's shaking without benefits only slows them down, and poor Adora quivers now with fear, not aggression. Surprise is no fool, though. She may have been trapped in the wrong animal body, but in times of war, one must adapt, switch loyalties to the winning side. Traitor? No. Survivor. Surprise bites Adora right on a reconstructed belly button and returns her outie to an innie. Like the dog, Surprise must be again. She runs to the welcoming growls of Baxter, Travis, and Draco, and takes her new position in the animal kingdom. It's been a journey. Lord, it's been a journey. Billy can't fly anymore, and he's accepted that fact, but when Draco takes to the air toward him and stays up just a few seconds longer than possible for any dog, he ducks and thinks fast. Spotting a motorized handicap cemetery cart left behind from an earlier funeral, he jumps on, revs the motor, and signals to his gang to leap aboard. And they do, just like in that famous photograph of the last helicopter leaving South Vietnam. Piled on and hanging on to each other for dear life, they beg Billy to stop and pick up Richard, who is writhing on the ground, cut off and abandoned. Last man down. Billy, ever the hero, does so with his last remaining drop of dexterity, and the chewed up, mauled, bitten, and castrated speed away, looking back at the burial plot. Marcia and Lester, surrounded by Baxter, Travis, Draco, and the newly feral Surprise, watch the losers fade in the distance. Marcia steps forward as Lester joins the dogs in a howling chorus of barked victory. She turns sideways and smiles. All can now see her bump. Yes, Marcia Sprinkle is with child. She's pregnant, and that's the God's honest truth. Poppy starts to scream, and scream, and scream, and to this day, she's never been able to stop.